This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the wonderful Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. So we'll touch on one more thing Tulsi Gabbard had to say from today, not related really to Obama, but more about Clinton. And then we'll move on to the communists looting the treasury of everything, not just the government. There's a shocking, horrible, not surprising, I guess, shocking and not surprising story out of California. We'll get to that. The anti-ICE app developer's wife worked for the government. Somali gangs terrorizing Minnesota. All that and so much more on the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show tonight. Now, I played a lot of the Gabbard stuff first hour. We're done with all that for now, but I didn't play this one. Tulsi Gabbard got up today and said this.
The report goes into great detail about the information that Russia and Putin had on Hillary Clinton, which included possible criminal acts like secret meetings with multiple named U.S. religious organizations in which State Department officials offered, in exchange for supporting Secretary Clinton's campaign for the presidency, significant increases in financing from the State Department. There were high-level DNC emails that detailed evidence of Hillary's, quote, psycho-emotional problems, uncontrolled fits of anger, aggression, and cheerfulness, and that then Secretary Clinton was allegedly on a daily regimen of heavy tranquilizers.
Okay, we'll address the Russia part in a moment. I just wanted to address the last part of what Tulsi Gabbard just said, that Hillary Clinton, apparently part of this intelligence report was that she had these unbelievable bouts of anger and rage, followed by happiness and giddiness, and that this was somehow damaging to her. That's just being a woman. Is it what, Chris? I'm defending Hillary Clinton here. You can't get mad at Hillary Clinton for being a woman. Sometimes she's going to be happy, and then at the drop of a hat, she's going to be angry and she'll be yelling at you and you won't understand why. And then the next day, she's all sunshine and roses. That doesn't make her a psycho. It just makes her a woman. Now, on a serious note, I do want to address the first part of this because maybe you're curious, wondering, why Russia in all this? If you're Barack Obama, why are you trying to pin Russia on Trump? If you're Hillary Clinton, because she was a huge part of this too, why Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump? Here she was again.
The report goes into great detail about the information that Russia and Putin had on Hillary Clinton, which included possible criminal acts like secret meetings with multiple named U.S. religious organizations in which State Department officials offered, in exchange for supporting Secretary Clinton's campaign for the presidency, significant increases in financing from the State Department. There were high-level DNC emails that detailed evidence.
We have to do a little rewind here that is going to take us back a little far, but we kind of have to understand the origins of this in order to understand the Russia angle of this whole thing. Remember when Barack Obama was president and he made Hillary Clinton Secretary of State? You remember that? Now, Tulsi Gabbard laid out a little bit of what the Clintons did, but remember how naked it was. It was just obvious that Hillary Clinton was using her position at Secretary of State to enrich essentially herself and her family. Remember the foreign donations that were pouring into the Clinton Foundation. This was a big news story back then. If you don't remember, just know that this was a thing. She'd be Secretary of State. And as Secretary of State, you know, you're in charge of the State Department. You have a huge amount of power. Secretary of State is a big, big, big deal. And so you hop on the private jet, not private jet, it would be an official government jet, all kinds of security, and you fly to Saudi Arabia, just using that as an example. You fly to Saudi Arabia as Secretary of State, and you get off the plane, and you tell the Saudis, hey, you know, oh, I've got $5 billion here that I'm sure you'd probably like as a grant. Yeah, that's nice. Have you heard about this little foundation I've got called the Clinton Foundation? Did you know that we're accepting donations right now? So I'm not telling you what to do, but let's just say you or a rich Saudi friend you have, let's say you felt like wiring $50 million in donations to the Clinton Foundation. And then maybe I could arrange to have that $5 billion in grants coming your way. Standard political corruption, quid pro quo stuff. I know this sounds like an old, old story, but it was not an old story back then. It was a huge topic back then because the Clintons are just, they've always been as scummy as it gets. And so as soon as she took that office, she tried to make money off of it. And this is how they operated. And they really operated this way with Russia. They had done things, I'm not going to bore you with details on them because it don't matter now, but they had done things back then, it had to do with uranium and other things, where it looked like, oh my gosh, the Clintons are kind of in bed with the Russians. And I got this from John Solomon, the Hillary Clinton campaign, get this is the part you really need to get. The Hillary Clinton campaign started polling the American people. What do you like about her? What don't you like about her? What are your concerns? And they became alarmed that one of the main concerns the American people had about Hillary Clinton was her nefarious ties to Russia. The Clinton campaign was taken aback by this. Uh-oh, this is something that looks bad. What do we do? Well, the best defense is a good offense. If you are concerned that the public thinks you are in bed with Putin, dirty as can be, smear your opponent with that exact same accusation. So they went out and created a false dossier acting like Trump was in bed with Putin. Then Barack Obama used the powers of the presidency to get the CIA and FBI say Trump is in bed with Putin. Soon, with enough powerful entities working on your behalf, the American people aren't concerned about your connections with Russia anymore. Now, it's all Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia. Trump's a Putin stooge. Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia. You have effectively taken the thing that was going to be an albatross around your neck, and you hung it around Donald Trump's neck. Let me play it one more time now that you understand the context.
The report goes into great detail about the information that Russia and Putin had on Hillary Clinton, which included possible criminal acts like secret meetings with multiple named U.S. religious organizations in which State Department officials offered, in exchange for supporting Secretary Clinton's campaign for the presidency, significant increases in financing from the State Department.
Hey, you know, I'm running for president. Sure would be nice if I had your financial report and, oh, would you look at that? I happen to have the State Department's budget in my hands. Maybe if you could throw a little cheddar my way, I'll throw a little of that State Department cheddar your way, and we can all come out of this ahead. They were doing it pretty openly back then, and anyone who paid attention to politics knows what I'm talking about. That is why they decided, since Russia is a problem for me, we need to figure out a way to make it a problem for Donald Trump. And they did. And to be honest with you, doing that as Secretary of State should land you in prison, of course. But Hillary Clinton, as Donald Trump's political opponent, using a fake dossier against him. That's evil when it's wrong, and it may be against the law. That's not nearly as bad as Barack Obama using the office of the presidency, using the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI as if they are his political arm. That is a new level of corruption. I don't know that we've ever seen it in presidential history.
Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard has unveiled shocking new evidence that former President Barack Obama and top aides in the Obama administration conspired to subvert President Trump's 2016 election victory and undermine the democratic will of the American people. While publicly pretending to engage in a peaceful transfer of power, in private, former President Obama went to great and nefarious lengths to try to sow discord among the public and sabotage his successor, President Trump. The new evidence released by the Director of National Intelligence, who is here with me today, confirms that the Obama administration manufactured politicized intelligence, which was later used as the justification for baseless smears against President Trump in an effort to try to delegitimize his victory before he even took the oath of office.
Someone better burn for that. May not be Obama, probably won't be, but someone better burn for that. Hang on, we got more. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do some of those emails. We'll get back to politics in a few. Dear Montana traveling Jesse, for those who don't know, as I said, I've spent the last month in Montana being with my mom up there. Dear Montana traveling Jesse, my husband has listened to your show for years. I have the pleasure of hearing your fantastic radio voice every now and then when we travel. It is a beautiful voice, Chris. What are you shaking your head for? I often get calls from my husband to tell me something hilarious you said on your shows. We laugh about it. It makes our days better. But today he called me having a fit about what you said. You apparently were hanging out in our home state visiting your mom and spilled the beans on the air. He realized we were close by watching our son at his state basketball tournament, and we could have had the chance to see you somewhere. I know you have a strong rule on not saying you are away from home before or during your travels, which I highly agree with, and reminded my husband of said rule, but he still threw his fit. So I told him I would send you an email to let you know he's very upset. I don't think he'll stop listening to your show over it, but I had to do my wifely duty and send this email. I'm sure Ob would understand. Thanks for keeping your humor while keeping us informed. We love it. Please say his name, she says. His name is Storm. All right, Storm. So your lovely wife sent an email complaining. Listen. So let me explain. I am fairly new to having a large platform, fairly new to being in media. As you are well aware, almost all of my life I have been just a normal person. I am just a normal person. I have washed cars. I've been in RV sales. I worked construction forever. Yes, in the ditch. I have lived a normal life, struggling to pay my bills, trying to make my way through life the exact same way you have made your way through life. And this whole media thing happened almost by accident. I just started putting out some dumb videos, and the right people saw them. And they gave us a little radio show. It was me and Jewish producer Chris and 1 hour on a local station at 7 o'clock at night with nobody listening. And this is 7 years ago. We had no idea it was going to go anywhere. I don't know about you, Chris. I was reasonably sure it wasn't. I mean, there was nobody even listening, right? You wouldn't get an email, right? In your mind, there's nobody listening. But by God's own grace, the show just has exploded into what you have now. I said all that to say this. I made mistakes in the very beginning when the show started to grow because I'm used to just being a normal person. I like to hang out with normal people. This is my life. So we would do things like eat the food people would send in. And I don't mean just packaged food. We would, lady, yeah, that's right, Chris. That was her name, Rachel? Some woman named Rachel? She mailed the show a pie. And, well, it's just me and Chris. I like pie. You like pie. Let's eat the pie. And the first time I told the radio suits that, yeah, we eat the stuff people send in, they freaked out. We didn't know any other way. The people will poison you. What is the matter with you? There's crazies out there. Well, I didn't really think about any of that stuff at all. Now, fast forward a little bit. I have before, I don't know if I've done it on the radio, although I think I have, but on social media before, I have mentioned, hey, I'm going to be here. And it could be something simple of, I'm going to a Houston Astros game tonight. People will show up and they'll look for me. Again, all this stuff is okay. It's fine. It doesn't bother me. But I also have home. I have family. Now, granted, they all shoot guns and I have a big dog. But if I'm leaving town, whether or not my family's coming with me, my family came with me to Montana, so it wasn't really about them. But I have learned that I can't be quite so carefree with, hey, I'm going to Waffle House after the show tonight, because you're not an idiot. You know when the show ends. I'm sitting here doing the show live. It wouldn't take a genius to find to figure out, well, which Waffle House in a certain area he's probably going to be at. People will show up. Now, that part is fine. I like seeing you. I like meeting you in public. The part that is not fine is Jesse's not home. That part's not fine. I am a security freak, and I always have been. That's why my entire family's been trained with firearms. That's why I have gone over and above with different security things in my home. It's why I wouldn't buy a little rat dog. You know, a lot of people like those little wee little rat dogs that weigh 20 pounds. Nope. I want a dog that can bite somebody's throat out. And I've always been like this way before radio. It's probably a Marine Corps thing. I got some of it from my father. I believe in security. Drives my wife crazy. The second it starts to get dark, I'll close all the blinds. Why are you doing that? I want to see outside. Because when it's dark outside and it's light inside, people can just look right in. It's a security concern. Like, these are the things I do for security. Now, I know you want me to tell you when I'm going to be somewhere so we can meet. If that opportunity ever presents itself, when I can do that completely safely, I will. Until that time, I have to tell you where I was instead of where I'm going. All right? Don't take anything I just said as leave me alone if you see me. I'm just a normal person. Please come say hello. You are more than welcome to. I love to see you. I love to talk to people. That blesses me. Come say hello. All right. Now, one more thing. You need to work on your meat. You should never be ruining a piece of meat, especially with these costs. There are a lot of different reasons for this, but we don't have enough cows in the country right now. The beef supply is unbelievably low. That's why steaks at the grocery store cost a lot. And that's why ruining one ruins your day, because it costs a fortune. Never ruin a piece of meat again with the IQ sense. I have never ruined a piece since I got it, and neither will you. How do you ruin it? You overcook it or you undercook it. IQ sense eliminates that. It's a wireless cooking thermometer from Chef IQ. You put it in the meat, you leave it in the meat. Your phone tells you, beep, 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 meat's done, pull it out. Get 15% off. ChefIQ.com. Code Jesse. ChefIQ.com. Code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So I'm going to bring up this story. Oh, by the way, I need to explain why my voice sounds like this and why my voice might be cutting in and out and why I'll be doing a lot of that, which is awful. I'll be doing a lot of that throughout the show. I almost died in between hours. Chris, I didn't even tell you about this. Corey, that's because I believe in suffering in silence. Here's what happened. We ordered some chicken wings, trying to be healthy here at the office. We ordered some chicken wings. They delivered us some chicken wings. I went with a Chipotle barbecue dry rub this time. All right, so not wet wings, dry wings. Chipotle barbecue dry rub. They were not shy with the dry rub. They rubbed it good. Chipotle barbecue seasoning everywhere. I pick up one of these wings. I'm getting ready to Kamala the whole thing down. I guess I breathed in right when I was putting the wing in my mouth. And the Chipotle barbecue dry rub got sucked back into my lungs like mustard gas. It was so bad, I had to drop the wing. I had to stand up. I was coughing. My eyes were watering. If you're looking at me, my eyes probably still look horrible. My eyes were watering. I had to spit out what was in my mouth in the trash can. I'm drinking water, trying to catch my breath. It was really heroic, if we're being honest. Borderline superhuman, but I'm getting through all this. I fought through it. This is all during the break. And now I'm here fighting through injury during the show. My lungs, they're still not the same. I don't know whether there's some permanent damage there. I don't know how much longer I have to live. But I'm here, and I'm here for you. And that's why my voice keeps cutting out. Let's get back to some politics. Anti-ICE developer's wife fired from the DOJ after partial ownership discovery. Let me break that down to make it a lot simpler than it just was right there. There's a guy. His name is Joshua Aaron. He created an app. The app is so people can figure out where ICE is and so they can avoid deportation. Remember something. Remember. I'm not going to go off on this right now, but global communism, it relies on mass importation of foreign barbarians. Without the mass importation of foreign barbarians whose loyalty can be bought, global communism collapses. And they all know this. The elites know it. The streets know it. There is an ironclad commitment to the mass importation of foreign barbarians. Therefore, you get a guy who creates an app so illegals can escape from ICE deporting them. Okay, you got all that. Guy's got a wife. Wife is a partial owner of the app. Wife was a forensic accountant for the Department of Justice. Now, she's gone now. Don't get me wrong. She got fired. But the reason I brought this up is how many people like this are inside the levels of power in our country. That woman is a forensic accountant for the Department of Justice. Let me ask you something. If she ever came across you, maybe had an opportunity to investigate you, I want you to think about your public statements. Maybe statements you've put on social media. If she browsed your public statements, what do you think she would do with her position at the DOJ to you? This is a tiny, tiny example, but this is the challenge ahead of us. These demons are everywhere inside the federal government. Committed America-hating communists working at the highest levels of power from the inside, from the halls of power. And it is going to be a chore to get them out. And look, I mentioned before that Pam Bondi, I don't know if she has what it takes, and I don't know if she can bring in the people it takes. Part of the struggle she's had, and a lot of it's her fault, I'm not that excusing her, I'm not a fan, but part of the struggle she's had, it's taken a lot of time to clear the communists out, and she very clearly hasn't gotten all of them. She just happened to be able to get this one because she was the partial owner of a guy who started an anti-ICE app. This lady just happened to get caught because her husband's an extra big scumbag who got some popularity. We just happened to kind of stumble across this one. Oh my gosh, well, let's get rid of this commie. These people are everywhere, worming their way through the federal government so they can use its power against you. Now they are. Jesse, you say the commie seeks and lures the malcontent. Do you think that's why they are all ugly with blue hair and metal all over their face? If I had blue hair, I'd be a malcontent. Okay. Well, there's something to that. So why is that so often the case? It's a funny joke for radio, but with the exception of some Hollywood stars and the AOCs of the world, they are quite ugly most of the time. But, you know, the blue hair, the half-shaved head, the rings in the face, why is that? Why did you send your daughter off to college and she was a beautiful 18-year-old girl and you got her back and half of her head shaved and the other half is dyed and she got an unsightly tattoo and she has 10 nose rings and you're looking at what used to be your baby girl and now it's a blue-haired pincushion and you're wondering, why would a girl make herself ugly on purpose? You ever heard of Jennifer Gilardi? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. She's kind of up and coming in this movement. I've interviewed her before for TV, maybe for radio, but Jennifer Gilardi was a lib. She was a communist for a very, very long time. She has since switched sides. She's on our side. But she has become a wonderful resource for me to try to probe why? Why do they think like this? Why do they do this? And I was asking her about the mentality. And one of the things she has told me is when she was a communist, she always felt a horrible weight of guilt on her. And I said, okay, about what? I mean, I feel a weight of guilt on me. And you know what? I can name you exactly why all the time. It's because I did something wrong. That's why I feel guilty. It took her a second, but she said, Jesse, it was essentially guilt about everything, including how I looked. Now, she's very pretty. You know, she's a very pretty woman. She felt horrible about that. Horrible when she was a communist that she was a dime and her friends weren't. It weighed her down. Now, that would be something a woman would be proud of and would like, of course, right? Not for a communist. Remember, it's a religion of destruction. Everything good, everything beautiful has to be destroyed. That's why they attack your country, because America is beautiful and wonderful. It has to be destroyed. Your own daughter, you sent off to college and you got her back with pits in her face. She looked in the mirror and saw beauty the way you looked at her and saw beauty. But because she got infected with communism, she decided to destroy it on purpose. I guarantee I'll have emails from former communists giving me similar stories. She destroyed her beauty on purpose. Guilt and misery come hand in hand with the religion of destruction. So does looting things. Let's talk about what they did in California. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So before we get back to the emails and making fun of the French and Somali gangs and various other fun things, I wanted to touch on this story just because not only is it terrible, it's a great example of how the communist thinks. We've talked before about how the communist believes in using power wherever he has it, whatever power he has, whether it's a lot or a little. If you're the United States president and you're a communist, use the Central Intelligence Agency for the revolution. If you're a kindergarten teacher, you've got a class with 20 kids in there. You've got authority over 20 kids. That's the only power you have. You use it for the revolution. You teach them about Black Lives Matter. And they also believe that they should be able to fund their revolution any way they want, mainly through theft. Theft is as bread and butter a part of communism as anything else. Stalin, did you know this? Stalin helped fund the revolution by robbing banks. Did you know that? Stalin, like many of the early communists, was a true criminal, a murderer, and a bank robber. He robbed banks to help fund the revolution. Stealing is an acceptable thing, just like lying is an acceptable thing if it's for the revolution. It's why Pete Buttigieg, the Rear Admiral, took over the Department of Transportation. We've been talking about that this week, and used half the budget on DEI stuff. Half the budget. Air traffic controllers? Nah, not interested. Up, some gay stuff? Ooh, sign me up. That's what they believe. They believe in stealing your money, the public money, anyone's money. You steal to fund the revolution. Here's a story. I want to give credit where it's due. Sue Pasco, she's with Circling the News. She's an investigative journalist. She's the one who got this story. You remember the fire, the terrible California wildfire, of course. You remember it. It may seem small in hindsight, but believe me, those people are still struggling. You remember all those homes got wiped out, the fires, you got all that. And at least for a brief time, none of this stuff ever lasts forever, but for a brief time, people wanted to help. It's sad when people were dying, homes are burning down, people wanted to help. So they put on a concert, a big concert, celebrity-packed concert, a fire aid benefit concert is what it was known as. All kinds of big names, people you'd know. How much did they raise? Remember, the concert was for, it was sold as a Palisades relief concert. They raised $100 million. This lady, Sue Pasco, starts to look around and wonder, where did it go? She, so far, has not been able to track a single cent of $100 million raised to actual victims. She did, however, track a bunch of them to various communist causes. They raised $100 million in the name of helping fire victims without the intention of giving a single cent to the fire victims. They handed it all out to their fellow communists. Quote, so I look at initially they gave $50 million to about 120 nonprofits. And I looked at these nonprofits and one of them said, we help mobile home parks. And there are two mobile home parks in the Palisades. So I contacted the people there. They've never received any money. They had never heard of that, she told Fox 11. Fire Aid itself is described in this article as a pop-up NGO created solely to assist the thousands of Pacific Palisades residents. They just created an NGO out of nowhere, out of thin air, and they did it so they could steal money from people to fund the communist revolution in the United States of America. And they don't feel the least bit bad about it because that's what they do. If you put the communist in charge of your child's piggy bank that has $13 in quarters and pennies in it, they would steal some of that money to fund the revolution. If you put them in charge of your local city, they're going to steal from the public treasury of that city and find a way to fund the revolution. You put them in charge of the presidency, the House, the Senate, they will find a way to dig through America's vast public treasury and fund the revolution. Millions and millions, billions of dollars from the federal government has flowed out to various communist causes because that's what they believe in. Theft, just like lies, it's not something they will do. It is what they believe in all the way. When you have access to money of any kind, you steal it for the revolution. And remember, maybe you're wondering, well, how could they do that for victims of a fire? Aren't they sad these people lost their homes? You can never understand the mentality of a communist until you understand they are anti-human to their core. Human life, human loss, human tragedy does not exist for an anti-human. The same way you've never been sad ever once about stepping on an ant or seeing a dead ant, the communist is the exact same way with human life. Everybody's just a cog in the wheel. The only thing that matters is the revolution. So stealing a bunch of money from wildfire victims? Well, who cares? The revolution clearly has to take priority. These are not people sitting around stressing because somebody lost their home or lost their dog or lost their daughter. They don't think in those terms at all. All that matters is the revolution. All right. We're going to talk about a couple different things. We're going to talk about Somali gangs. Somebody pulled up an old chart about black-white race relations, how they were versus how they are now, and it is unbelievably sad, and we're going to discuss the why. That'll be a big point of next hour. Plus, we'll make fun of this commie. We'll talk about Deborah Birx needing a public trial. All that, plus you need to switch your cell phone to Pure Talk. You need to switch your cell phone to Pure Talk. Pure Talk, it's the mobile company that actually cares about the country. They genuinely care about the country. Pure Talk, there are a lot of mobile companies. There's Verizon, there's AT&T, there's T-Mobile. They're the only one that focuses on hiring Americans on American jobs. I don't know of any others that do. American jobs. They are veteran-led. Their CEO's a veteran. When they do give back, and they do give back, you've heard me say it how many times, they focus on veterans. Getting them back on their feet. Tonight's the night. Make the switch. It takes 10 minutes on the phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.